listening to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch, sponsored by our friends at Watson.
On and here comes pride in the backstretch. Heartache going to the inside. My tears are holding back there. I'm trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. True love scratch for another sake. The race is on and it looks like heartache. And the winner loses all.
I think here we go. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of We Speak Dispatch. Coming up soon, the first weekend in May, it is the Kentucky Derby. So we wanted to get ready for you. And in this episode, we have Jill joining us. Jill, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
We've got Leslie joining us. Leslie, how are you doing?
Excellent. Looking forward to this.
Mr. Doug, how are you doing?
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. So we wanted to take a few horses and relate them to dispatch practices and see which horse you would take at your agency. So it's going to be a stretch here, but hopefully our costumes keep you entertained. And the first question is, if you could only pick one thing to remain working during a power outage, would you take the CAD horse, the radio horse, or the phone horse?
I would take the phone horse.
The phone horse. Why?
Yeah. Because you can get phone calls in, and then you can get somebody who goes out to the street and delivers them or has people come into the center to get the calls to take them back to where they need to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anybody I was thinking radio.
Yeah, because the phone calls will be answered by somebody else. So we got a forward system on our phone so they get answered by somebody else.
Well, that wasn't
the radio
question.
System, I could. No, hey, you know what? I'm interpreting the questions as I want to. Because I can give the radio calls to the officers in the field and they can all respond back and all that stuff. We can do all that communication. But the phones can be answered by another comm center located miles and miles away. So there you go.
Leslie, what were you going to pick?
I was going to pick the radio as well because all of the things that Doug said and just to maintain that line of communication with the field responders. So, you know, if they're coming across things that have happened because of the outage or things like that, we can at least provide that response continuity. What about you, Joe?
Yeah, I was going to go with Jill's answer originally, not thinking of the forwarded stuff. And also we could communicate with the responders in the field by phone.
Yep. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to take the phone originally. Our center had the backup portable radios. So if our council radios went down, we would just go over and grab a portable off the wall. And so hopefully it was just the council radios that were down. So I was going to talk about, we still had radio communication. I was going to go grab a different piece of technology and have our phones. So I was going to use phones and stretch it into also having radio. So I was going to have a combo horse.
I have a question for those who, because none of us chose CAD, although we all think, oh my God, when CAD goes out, it's the most horrible thing ever. Yes. But curious, for those of, because we all worked in a comm center, were you trained on, during your training process, what you did when CAD was down? And was that something that, you know, like it's a perishable skill. If you learned it when you know, 20 years ago, when you first started and CAD never went down. So just curious, what does that system down emergency look like? Because we just had one recently where 911 was down. So great topic.
And is that, you talking about the one that affected like that? Four states? The big 911 that shut down four states. It's like, that's a lot out there. And we had to practice CAD going down because when I started, we had DOS. We didn't have a good CAD. So we had DOS. And the DOS, you know, once it got a little overwhelmed, it would go off. And, you know, if you type too much, it would kind of go off. So you'd have to go back to cards. So we got very good at that, you know. Yeah. I don't know how many people do that nowadays.
Yeah, one of the ways we practiced, and I still like this, it was a medium-sized agency, so we weren't real large. It was a two-seat PSAP. When I say medium, that's medium for Iowa. And one of the ways that we practiced CAD down is I just had them turn off their monitors. And so if we got overwhelmingly busy, all they had to do to get caught up was turn on their monitors and start entering information. Yeah. But without their monitors, they couldn't see it, and it was really protecting us. And we did that once every about 6 months on different shifts. And we did it for only 30 minutes to 2 hours just to make sure we got some practice at doing that. But we could easily get caught up if the stuff were to hit the fan or however you want to say that. If it became a real emergency, our training didn't impact or jeopardize citizen or responder safety. So I really liked doing it that way.
Well, I mean, keep it with the horse theme, though. I mean, if the CAD goes down, I mean, we're not going to be able to make glue out of it. Ba-dum-bum. So,
wow, that was a stretch.
That was a stretch.
What about you, Jill? What did you do? How did you train for system down?
We practice cards every now and again, but mostly we went on cards when something went wrong. I don't ever recall like practicing, but I mean, it's been a minute, but I do know that we use cards probably, I don't know, maybe 6-7 times in my course of the time there, but I actually liked using the cards because sometimes it just made it easier. Like you're getting the basic information and you're not, for me, it worked. Like sometimes going back to basics is easier than newfound technology. So when you have to go back to basics, you have to remember your map skills. You have to remember all these things that you're relying on with the actual computer. So many people didn't like it, but I enjoyed going back to the basics for however long it took. Cards thing. Yeah. I mean, everybody made it through the night. So
that's right. Yeah. I know there's a couple agencies that I've heard of just have used, like, and especially post COVID, you know, now on Zoom meetings or, you know, whatever the platform is, there's that whiteboard option. So like Google Suite and some of those things where you can share documents in real life, live version. So they would use that and then use the virtual post-it notes as their units response. Cool. So I thought that was kind of cool. All right. Cool. Sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
No, I was going to go to the question number two is which jockey are you picking to be a CTO? Are you picking the jockey's name that is the trainees will do what I say because I'm the CTO? Are you picking the jockey that says I'm going to adjust to my trainee? Are you picking to the jockey that isn't really involved and says they need to sink or swim because that's how they learn the fastest? So you've got do it my way, I'm going to adjust, or sink or swim. Which jockey are you picking?
Deuce. Number two.
I think everybody's picking number two, but how many people out there still hear those CTOs that say they're the trainee and they need to do it exactly the way I say? How many people still hear that when they go to a comm center?
And I think no matter how much training's out there, even I train in my current job and I'm like, here's how I do it. Here's how they do it. But however you do it, that gets the job done. Cause there's a couple things we do that, I mean, it doesn't have to be the same way all the time. Like however it gets it done for you. Like we all process things differently and stuff makes sense to us in a different format. However that works for you, at the end of the day, as long as you're following policy and procedure, does it really matter if they do A, B first versus B and A?
Right. Agreed. And I think though that especially if you are a trainer, that while you are obviously going to have your style, like I was command line driven, I didn't want to touch the mouse at all, but I had to know enough to know that what could be done by using the mouse. So, hey, this is the way I do it. And if they did it a different way because they came to me from a different trainer, at least I knew, okay, they've got the general idea, you know, to Jill's point, as long as they get to the end result and they're not violating policies or procedures and they're doing it correctly, then do it.
Absolutely. And now which horse, when they say down the stretch, they come, are you taking? Are you going to take the NINA horse, the NFPA horse? Or the IAED horse, and how are you measuring your dispatcher's performance? And so what I mean by that is NINA has a standard that 90% of calls need to be met, and all of these are good standards. I just want to know which one you pick is the most important. That's all. 90% of all calls are answered in 10 seconds or less, and they've now changed it to within the busiest hour. NFPA has 95 and 99%. I believe it's in 15 or 40 seconds. And then IAED has some call processing stuff where they allow echo determinant levels to now be dispatched out of case entry. Which one is the most important to measure your 911 center against?
You know, I think a lot of it, I hear about these, you know, these are the requirements and all that kind of stuff, but I don't think a lot of times they take into account centers that are running really short or centers that are really super busy. I mean, you know, that can impact times. I mean, I worked in LA, and LA, you were never out of like the red zone where it was just constant ringing and all that stuff. So, I mean, I think sometimes that's a little unrealistic to say they need to be answered this much time, because if you're just pounding through calls or you're just the opposite. You're by yourself and you're trying to do these things. It's just, it's kind of like unrealistic goals. And I consider those goals. I consider those as a goal to get to. You're not going to make it every single time. And there shouldn't be a slam if you don't, because there's other extenuating circumstances out there. So,
yeah. And I was the fourth horse, Doug, that I was going to interject, the 911 horse, your agency horse, and saying,
coming from the rear of the pack.
That's right. And making the hurdles all the way up to the finish line, as Doug just stole the thunder, was the 911 horse. And what works for your agency was going to be my closing statement. And Doug just had him fast across the finish line.
You know what? I keep seeing this horse out here. This horse is running in circles like a crazy thing. And you know what? That's going to be crazy glue. So there you go. So. Ba-dum-bum, ding.
Again, with the stretch.
Yeah. So I was going to say that by putting time standards on 911 calls on how fast calls are getting answered, it almost sounds like a fast food line. How fast can we get the food out?
Yeah.
Because not every 911 call is going to be answered the same. And I'm assuming a lot of those call times would be people who practice protocols. Is that protocol-based? Yeah. Joe?
It can be both. I mean, I've seen it in both. You know, Nina focuses a lot on how quickly you answer the phone. And for years, they were 90% answered in 10 seconds or less. And then they changed it to 90% answered in 10 seconds or less during your busiest hour.
I have a question.
And NFPA also focuses on that as well. But call processing time is what's starting to be measured more, where these entities are working together now. And my biggest thing is we get one chance to do it right. Mm-hmm. And I would rather we do it right and take 10 extra seconds than do it wrong and cost us time on the back end.
Yeah.
But I will say, and this is where I think maybe the standards do have a place in conversations, especially when you are talking about staffing and stuff like that, that you've got, instead of just, oh, here comes Leslie again with another great idea. And she wants us to answer calls quickly and we need to hire more people. So we can answer calls more quickly. I think that what the standard intent is to, number one, standardize the response across the country. So no matter where you are, no matter what state you live in or visiting, that when you answer 911, the process is going to be similar. But also, second, that I can now go in to my chief or sheriff or director and say, look, the standard is this. And with our current staffing, we're down here. In order to meet this staffing, we need to hire more people. We need to change our workflow. We need to introduce technology or whatever that is. But I think it's that objective third party that now maybe has a little bit more merit, because, you know, when you're, especially when you're talking to people, the leadership teams and things like that, they want to know, okay, what's the standards? What are the metrics? What are the, you know, the basic numbers? Not, you just want to have more people because you want to give people time off. No, we want to hit the standard, and we're not able to do that right now with the staffing that we have.
But wait a minute, though. If you're talking like the how fast you can answer the calls, what about centers that I've worked in that have ACD, where it's automatic call distributor? So it's the minute you come available, bam, you got another call right away. So your answer times are super fast because you don't have a second. I mean, they just come right to you. As soon as you hit next, bam, it's right in your head. You got to be careful what you say.
Right, right.
So, I mean, I consider some of these statistics, these, you know, how fast you can do these things, kind of like speed limits. We know what the speed limit is on the highway. Do we sometimes go over that speed limit? Yeah. I mean, we don't.
we never.
Speed limit all the time. So, but it's one of those things where it's like, I know it's a great rule to have, but it has to take into account all of the other parameters that we're talking about. If you have ACD, that's going to change the stats because it's going to look like you're answering so fast. But what's the quality of calls? Because I've heard people that, hell, I worked with people that were, they would blast through calls so fast. And I'm like, you're doing a lot of calls, but what about the quality of these calls? I mean, are you just trying to get as many calls as you can without even taking into account maybe somebody's got a real emergency kind of thing?
Yeah. So.
But I think that goes back to, sorry, Joe, and I know, but I think that goes back to it. And, you know, I was a law enforcement only agency, so we didn't necessarily have the International Academy standards. But what Doug's talking about, and I completely agree with you, is if you are an agency that you may be hitting one standard and you're blowing through calls, but you're not doing any sort of quality assurance to make sure that those calls are being handled correctly. The only time that you find out they're not is when somebody complains. then that's another issue that needs to be addressed. And so it's a give and take. They work well together. They're running down the lane simultaneously.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
I don't have the answer to this one, but this episode blazed right by, just like the horses are going to do here and the first weekend in May. But I want to end this by choosing your best dispatched named horse. What would you name your horse with a dispatch theme if dispatch was to have a horse that entered the Kentucky Derby?
Wow. Wow. That's a good one. I don't know.
Wow. Goldline Rockstar.
Goldline Rockstar. That's good.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I like that one.
How about Always Ready?
Always Ready is a really good one. Yes.
That one too.
911 Legacy Maker.
911 Legacy Maker. Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good one.
I don't have one, to be honest.
Oh, Joe, come on.
I know. I'm not trying to think here. I'm gonna go with something along the lines of available and ready or something like that.
Okay. There you go.
Available and ready.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Available and ready. So.
Always ready.
Always ready. That's even better. Yeah, Always Ready would be the name of my horse. So if you're going to watch the Kentucky Derby, please watch it. It's the first weekend in May. It's a great event. Pay attention, because the 911 dispatchers that are working that event, the number of people that go to that area is incredible, and what they're challenged with is absolutely huge. So this is a shout out to the 911 dispatchers that are working that event. We hope your horse wins. Thanks for taking a listen to us. Doug, why don't you close us out instead of me?
You know what? Hey, if you want to be a guest of this show, just let us know. We'll bring you on. You can talk about whatever topic you want. Maybe you want to talk about the horse racing or whatever it is to you. Horse you can come racing. On and talk about it with us like that. So other than that, we're on every kind of podcast platform you could think of. Anything you think about, you should be listening to us all the time. It's only 15 minutes long. That's because you can listen on your way to work, your way home, you're on a break, whatever. Listen to us talking about whatever topic it is. And I think we're over 35,000 podcast plays in about 50 countries, which is great. That tells me if they're all listening, you should be too. Until next time, everybody. Go out and make it a great day. Derby.